As promised, we are joined right now by the head basketball coach at Villanova. He has led Villanova to a pair of national championships, one of only three active Division I head coaches with multiple national championships, more wins over the past five seasons than any other program in America, a two-time National Coach of the Year, a five-time Big East Coach of the Year, recipient of the John R. Wooden Legends of Coaching Award. Villanova is number 16 in the coaches poll. They are on top in the Big East. They're at Georgetown tomorrow night, 6:30 p.m. Eastern. Jay Wright is my guest. Jay, it is so good to have you back. How are you?
Hey, Jim, how are you, buddy?
Good, Jay. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Who did the Padres just sign?
Manny Machado?
No!
Yes!
I've been proud. No, the Phillies don't get him. I'm dying.
Yeah, what about that?
Oh,
I thought
no.
They were going to get him. I thought they were going to get him and Bryce Harper and Mike Trout.
I thought I wasn't at the Trout part yet, but I thought they were going to get both of them. Oh, no.
Is that disappointing to you, Jay?
Very.
Okay.
Very. You know, I was waiting for you. I was waiting to go on, and I heard you say that. And I've been with our staff getting ready for a Georgetown.
Really? You'll get over it, Jay. You always bounce back fast. It's been a really interesting year, right? You dropped a tough one to St. John's, and you had a lead, but St. John's started stepping up defensively, and then the Madison Square Garden crowd really got into it. Things did not turn out as well for you guys. How do you go about handling that with your team? Is it something you spend time on, or do you immediately shift to Georgetown tomorrow night?
You know, we try to handle each game the same, Jim, where we, the day after the game, we have what we call flush day, where we're trying to physically to get our guys rejuvenated and mentally get them rejuvenated, and then learn our lesson from the previous game and make sure that we're all moving forward with the same lesson from that game, you know, rather than one guy think it was, you know, our defense, one guy think it was our turnovers. We all got to get on the same page and then move forward and start preparing for Georgetown. And so we spend a lot of time on that, not on the court. You know, our flush days are only like 30 minutes on the court, but a lot of time in the film room and meeting about where our mindset is going forward.
Jay Wright joining us. You know, Jay, when I'm looking at the year, it's really interesting in the sense that you were 8-4 at one point, and that included a really tough loss to Michigan, a close one to Kansas, losses to Furman and Penn. You knew it was going to be a team that was going to have to grow, but here we are in mid-February, and you're on top of the Big East. How much has this team grown since the start of the year?
A lot, Jim. This has been a really interesting year, a really invigorating year, really, coaching-wise. Just we have two seniors in Phil Booth and Eric Pascal that have great experience. And then we have no juniors. And then our sophomores, Demir Cosby, Roundtree, Colin Gillespie, and Jermaine Samuels, really didn't play much on that national championship team, you know, a little bit. But and then, you know, a bunch of freshmen. And so, you know, we're a little bit of a different program. It takes some time to get comfortable with our system. And, you know, we played Michigan early after having played them in the national championship game. Man, they were ready. They were ready early. They waxed us. And it was really eye-opening. You know, we just saw like how far we had to go. But great leadership by two seniors that teach these young guys, kind of carry these young guys for a while. And now I think we're at the point where these young guys are ready to step up, and I think we can continue to get better down the stretch here and be a good team at the end.
You see, the thing is, Jay, the team is young because you had four guys who were taken in the first 33 picks of last year's draft, and it included a couple of guys who you thought maybe might initially come back until they dominated their NBA workouts. So how much did that change things for you coming into this season?
That's exactly how it happened. We really pride ourselves here in what we call roster structuring. We really try to, you know, communicate with the NBA people, assess where guys are, you know, what year each guy should be going, communicate with the players and their parents, where their mindset is. So, we kind of have ourselves set. We thought Jalen Brunson and Mikal Bridges after last season, both of them were only juniors, but we knew that they were going to be, you know, first-round picks and they were going to go. And they both had their degrees, so even though they were juniors, we knew they were going to go. And then Amari Spellman was a freshman. Dante DiVincenzo was a sophomore. We kind of felt like one more year they'll be leaders with Booth and with Pascal, and so we didn't want to bring in guys behind them that were really expecting to play a lot because we thought we'd have those guys. And then Dante DiVincenzo goes off for 33 in the championship game, and then he goes into the combine, and on the first day he gets the highest vertical jump on the combine, and our staff looked at each other and said, you know what? He's gone, man. He's going to be a first-round pick, and now that's great for him. So it was great for him, great for Omari. As a matter of fact, Omari's just walked out of my office just when I called you here. He's back for the All-Star break. So it's great for those guys. It's great for the program. It just left us a little younger than we expected to be, and I'm really proud of how our guys have handled it this year.
We're talking to Jay Wright. You know, Jay, I wonder, when every year is different, obviously, but when you look back on last season and winning that title, how did you go about handling the success and the attention that comes along with that? For instance, did you approach it differently than when you won it for the first time in 2016?
Yeah, we really did. We learned a lot of lessons after 16. You know, obviously it was not Villanova's first national championship, but it was our staff's first national championship. And, you know, we had been to the Final Four in 09. That was a big thing, and there was a lot of responsibilities and kind of distractions after that season, but winning the national championship was totally different. And we had a great team coming back in 17, and we did all the things you're supposed to do. We went to the ESPYs, we went to the White House, we went to the state capitol, we went to the city hall. We did everything that we thought we were responsible to do. And our team was set up to take a trip to Spain, and we did that. And next thing you know, we started the 17 season, and we're looking at each other like, "Hey, man, we just ended 16. Like, we were still celebrating 16. Everybody, you know, and doing the things we're supposed to do. Everybody else was on to 17." And I felt like that 17 season, we finished this. We won the Big East. We wound up being a one seed, but we were mentally exhausted going into that tournament. I really felt responsible for that as a head coach. Like, I didn't give those guys enough separation. And I think we really did a good job this year. We didn't get invited to the White House, so we didn't have to do that. But a lot of things like that, like I let the older guys go to the ESPYs. You know, I didn't go this time. I stayed back with the younger guys and coached them. And I felt like we got really good separation from that season to start this season.
Jay, it's a really candid response. I really appreciate that. I respect that a lot. Jay Wright joining us. Jay, you're never going to make it about you, but Jay Billis said something a few months back that was amazing to me. Jay Billis said this about you, quote, "He doesn't get to choose whether he's the standard bearer. He just is. He's the Coach K of the next generation." End of quote. That's a really strong statement, a really powerful statement. What's your reaction when you hear that?
Wow, I didn't hear that one. And that is a strong statement, and it's very humbling, especially coming from Jay. He knows the business. Jay, one of the things I always like about Jay is that he coached. He obviously was a very good player, but he coached too. So when he's talking about college basketball, he knows both sides of it. So I respect that a lot. And Coach K allowed me to be involved with the USA team with him, and I learned a lot from him. And I have a great deal of respect. So I don't exactly agree with that. I don't think I'm on that level, but I take that as a great compliment because I think the world of Coach K, and I really respect Jay.
Villanova head coach Jay Wright joins me for a few more moments. Jay, what about that? You've been involved with USA Basketball, as you mentioned, for a while now. You're a part of Greg Popovich's staff along with Steve Kerr and Nate McMillan. What's it mean to be included with them and eventually get to learn from them and have time to spend with them? What's the experience been like for you?
Yeah, man, it's an incredible honor. It is really a great honor to be a part of the USA Basketball staff, right? And to be able to, do a little something for your country. You know, it's not like being in the military. It's not, you know, comparable to that or anything. But at least you feel like you're doing something for your country. But the benefits of it, of spending time with those guys. Last summer, we had a few days where we got the team together. Steve Kerr and Nate McMillan were not on the staff yet, but Mark Few was with us. Myself, he and Coach Pop and some NBA assistants worked out the potential NBA team in Las Vegas. And and you know, working with Coach Pop and Mark Few, but then also those guys, like, you know, it was great. You know, we didn't have anything to prepare for. We brought them all in. We didn't know how hard they were going to work. We started practice with them. They were killing each other. Durant, Westbrook, all these guys, Kyle Lowry, they're going after each other. We actually had to slow them up. We're like, all right, we got to cool this down a little bit. And it was funny, before practice, we were saying, hey, maybe we won't do anything live. We'll just do some drills and just get them together, get them to know each other better. And they were killing each other. And then we went the second day. We asked them, hey, you want to go live? Or they're like, yeah, we want to go live. Let's go. It was a great experience seeing how competitive those guys are.
Jay, I can see your reaction. I mean, obviously I know you love your kids, you love your program, but as a head coach, obviously you want to be around the best of the best if you can. You get the opportunity. I'm curious, these guys know you, they know what you're about. How did those guys react to you and the other college coaches?
Yeah, great. Really interesting, really, really interesting dynamic. You see what basketball minds those guys have. There was a great a bunch of my friends that were at the practice, or coaches, you know, took pictures of. There was a time where Kevin Durant and I, we were in between drills, and he asked me about the spacing in our offense. So he obviously, you know, had seen us play and recognized that's something that we take give a lot of attention to is our spacing. So he knew that. And then I asked him about their movement and screening and cutting. And we got into this deep conversation about how to screen and cut and still maintain the spacing that we do without the screening. And so a bunch of my coaching friends, like, took pictures of this conversation, you know, and videoed the two of us. So, I mean, you get into a deep basketball conversation with one of the greatest players. I was so impressed with, you know, his knowledge of X's and O's and his willingness to share it. It was one of my favorite parts of the camp.
That's a really cool story. Jay, one last thought. I've got to ask you about the program itself. For instance, you've built a program that is different than Duke, Kansas, Kentucky, North Carolina, but at the same time, you're having the kind of success that they would want to have. So does that view of Villanova in the landscape of college basketball change, or is it something that you want to fight and make sure you keep Villanova's identity what it's been for the past few years?
Man, that's an interesting question, man. I like the fact that, like, someone like you that studies it and follows it and knows the history includes us with those schools. I like that. We respect them. So when you talk about us with those schools, that's an accomplishment for us. But we're a unique place where it's really important that guys that come here, they have to want to be in college. You know, Omari Spellman just left my office. He was only here 1 year. I actually was here 2 years, played 1 year, went to the NBA. But he wanted to be in college. He wanted to be in class. He wanted that experience. As long as we're getting those kind of kids and then they want to be pros too, we just want to be the best Villanova we can be. If us being the best Villanova puts us with Duke and Kentucky and Kansas, then I'm happy as hell. But as long as we're being the best we can be and we're competing with them in every aspect we can, I'm happy.
Thing is, Jay, I didn't say that it put you with them. I said they want to be you. But that's me, Jay. That's me, Jay. That's my take. He's the head basketball coach of Villanova. You see, Jay, I mean, we started the thing off with some unfortunate news that you didn't get your guy in Philadelphia, but then we came full circle quickly, in fact. You're like that, Jay, man. You are strong. You always bounce back. It is so good to visit with you, Jay. I appreciate you. I appreciate this relationship, and I appreciate you always making time for this show.
Anytime, buddy. Love what you do, man.
You too, Jay. You too. Take care, Jay. Great talking to you. I mean, like, everybody loves Jay Wright. If you don't love and admire and respect Jay Wright, then you got a problem with you. Who doesn't want to be Jay Wright, man? The guy is so good and so smart and so well-respected. Look good, feel good, coach good. Coach with the pros, coach in college. I mean, live the dream and do it in Villanova. The guy's amazing. I didn't get to this part of the interview because we ran out of time, but Jeff Capel is an example. Capel said that he's gotten to the point, he's the head coach of Pitt, that Jay Wright's gotten to the point where, quote, it's how he's done it. That's what people are really looking at. It's not just what he's accomplished, he's in it for the right reasons. In other words, you've got all these other coaches who want to emulate and model themselves after Jay Wright. Hell, I mean, that statement from Jay Billis, Billis does not say things like that. Billis does not throw that around. Quote, he doesn't get to choose whether he's the standard bearer. He just is. He's the next Coach K, or he's the Coach K of the next generation. I mean, who would dispute that point? That's true.